us. Thank you for the beauty of the Word of God that speaks to us in all situations and helps us to know you, to understand you, and to understand the steps we should take in life to follow you. Lord, we just pray that the Word of God will become active and alive in our lives even more today after we study it together for a little while. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to me with me to 1 John chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. We're starting an entire new book today. We've been going through, Pastor Tyler and I have been going through the Gospel of Luke before for almost 2 years, over 2 years, and now we're starting a shorter book, 1 John. And I'll read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. That's 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. You know, an observation that I've made recently is that a lot of people around us today feel empty. And a lot of people are just plain lonely. And maybe it's one of the effects, long-term effects of COVID on people. You know, we were isolated from people. We were distant from people. And so people feel today cut off from having deep friendships with others. Life and these friendships they do have don't seem to satisfy them, because everything out there seems so sterile, so distant, and so surface that they long for something that's real, something that's sincere. As we completed our study of the Gospel of Luke last week, we left the disciples in the temple in Jerusalem praising God, because they had discovered that this Jesus, the Messiah, could satisfy them like no one else, because he is the ultimate reality, eternal life that God wants us to have and to understand. But what happened to these men in the temple after the ascension of Jesus? Today we're going to focus especially on the Apostle John, who was one of those guys that was praising God. Well, the book of Acts gives us some clues. John experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He witnessed the birth and the growth of the church. He saw thousands and thousands of people give their lives to Jesus. And he also saw the beginning of the persecution of the church. And he saw Christians moving out from Jerusalem, out from Israel, to other parts of the world. And as the Bible closes with the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation records for us that John, later in his life, was living, or not according to his will, but against his will, on the island of Patmos, not far from Ephesus. And he seems to have under his care seven churches. And they're listed in the book of Revelation as Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And God compliments John at the beginning of 1 John, or Revelation. He says about John, John testified to everything that he saw concerning the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. That's an amazing thing God to say about your life. He testified about everything about Jesus. Well, as the churches grew, these seven churches grew, also opposition to the gospel grew. And John labeled these false teachers as antichrist, and he's unique in using that word, antichrist. And it means those who are against our proti, our anti-Jesus. He speaks at least twice in 1 John about their message. In chapter 2, verse 22, he says that they deny that Jesus is the Christ. And then in chapter 4, verse 3, he says they do not acknowledge Jesus, that God came in the flesh. That everybody that does that is an antichrist. These men were pastors or church leaders who had left their churches probably, and were now saying that John and the other apostles were wrong about Jesus. So John writes this book, and you know there are three main things that John says in 1 John. You know, John is, he was very descriptive as an author to make sure that everybody knew the main thing that he was talking about. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he says he writes these things in order that we might have eternal life. But in 1 John, he gives us three reasons why he wrote the book. The first one's in verse 4, so we might have joy. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, so that we might not sin. And in chapter 5, verse 13, he says, that you might know that you have eternal life. You might know for certain that you belong to Jesus. John was an eyewitness to the message, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And now in this book, he's going to give us some evidence about Jesus that he and the other apostles discovered so that we can make our decision about Jesus, so that we can see for ourselves who Jesus really is. And John is going to do this in the first four verses by giving us four facts about Jesus. Fact number one, Jesus Christ is the eternal word of life. Jesus Christ is the eternal word of life. Verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The first verb, and the verbs are important in verse 1 and throughout this passage, but that verb was is a in the perfect tense in Greek. And so it's telling us that Jesus always was, and there's a continual state of being of Jesus Christ. Jesus has existed from eternity past. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1 says. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There has never been a time when Jesus wasn't. And when he came to earth, get this, he came to give life because he was the source of life. He is the giver of life. And as Scott read for us, that life is the light of men. The hope that everybody has is Jesus and what he can give to us. Every time that he spoke, every time that he healed someone, And when he rose from the dead, it was revealed, it was shown to those who were around him that this is God in the flesh. And Jesus revealed to his disciple the mind and the heart of God. It says in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. The Greek verb there is in the perfect tense again. That means they had heard it in the past, and now it's continuing to have an amazing effect upon their lives. It doesn't go away. We heard what he said, and that was burned. That was burned into our hearts and minds, and they never, ever forgot what Jesus said. And then it says that we have seen with our eyes. We have seen with our eyes. Again, a perfect tense. So they had seen it, and it's continuing to be on their mind. Ever have something like that happen to you? I was in the room when Pastor Bob died, and I saw the life leave his body from top to bottom. I'll never forget that, ever, ever. And that's what they're saying here. We have seen this with our own eyes. And then he says, which we have looked at. And it's not just a glance here. The idea here is, it's just an aorist tense, simple past tense, a deliberate and careful observation of Jesus. They checked this out. They studied this out. Not just glanced at Jesus, but they spent time figuring out who Jesus was. And that our hands have touched. And this is simple past tense again. This was a concrete experience with Jesus. And then they would never forget this. But they used the same exact word in the Greek language that Jesus uses in Luke 24. He says, come, touch my hands. Put your hand in my side. Touch me. The same exact word. Every part of their being sensed and knew that Jesus was God in the flesh. This week I had a chance to talk with or see and be with two of my sons. And our oldest son, David, said that when he was in high school, he went on Operation Barnabas to Brazil. It was Operation Barnabas International. And he said when they went to the Amazon, David said it was so hot after they got off the plane that you could actually feel the humidity in your lungs. I mean, the heat was just so, hot, and it was so humid. And they didn't have to be told that it was hot. Every part of their bodies confirmed it to them. God has revealed himself to us through many means. But his final and best means is through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living means of communication between God and men. Yeah, we hear the words. We know what he did. But we know it inside of us that this is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So that's the first fact about Jesus that we should grasp in verse 1. Jesus Christ is the eternal word of life. Fact number 2. Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. Look at verse 2. It says, the life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. Jesus Christ is life. We get life from him. And this verse says that he came to us in an unusual way. In the NIV, it says appeared, but I think King James Maybe NASV says manifested, right? Manifested to us. It means he was made known. He was unveiled to us, simple past tense. So Jesus was manifested to us, appeared to us in a very, very unusual way. And how he left. He was also manifested to us by the way he left, in a very, very unusual way. Remember how Jesus was born? He was born of a virgin birth. Angels announced that he was going to come. And the shepherds, you know, the angels told the shepherds, hey, go to the city of David, and you'll find this baby wrapped in a cloth lying in a manger. You know, the King of Kings, the guy who created everything, is going to be lying in a manger. And they went, and they found it just as they had been told. They were amazed. Jesus was born a virgin birth in an amazing way. Manifested to us and appeared to us in an amazing way. And also, when he departed, last week we looked at the ascension. He ascended to heaven right before their eyes. He was taken up. And he couldn't stop telling others about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why the book of Acts is sometimes referred to as, you know, the story of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Jesus Christ came from God the Father. He dwelt here on earth with us for a time and became the source of life for us by giving his life on the cross for you and me. You know, my second son, Joel, likes raising and eating jalapenos. But they're fake jalapenos. These fake jalapenos look like a jalapeno. And they taste just a little bit like them. But they are not hot. They promise a lot, but they don't deliver. They are fake. Life that is real, that is sincere, that is wonderful, that can fill us with joy, joy like we can't find anywhere else in this world, is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And real life can be experienced when we put our trust in him as our Savior. There's no other source of life. Jesus is it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. Fact number three. A relationship with Jesus Christ provides real fellowship with God. I read verse 3 again. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The main verb here is proclaim, and it is a present tense Greek verb. That means it's ongoing, it's continuing tense. We are proclaiming to you right now. Right now, what we've seen and heard. You know, our word fellowship in English is a translation of the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia means to have in common. Like, for instance, partners in a business. Maybe you have a business partner. So you have, in some senses, koinonia with him. Or joint owners of a piece of property. Or shareholders in a company. And so to have in common with something is the main idea of koinonia. But in a Christian sense, it's even greater than that. The disciples had seen this happen with their own eyes, God becoming flesh. And they had heard about it with their own ears. And they realized that as sinners, we have nothing in common with God. But Christ came so that he might have something in common with us. He became a man and went to the cross to die for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. And when we accept him as Savior, we are taken into God's family. Isn't that special? We're taken into God's family and we're given eternal life. That same eternal life that Christ has, he gives to us. You know, we have three sons, and I think there's something special about raising missionary kids. You know, they have a fellowship that I just can't describe it the way it is when they get together, when these guys get together. You know, they talk about silly stuff too, like when they used to go and blow up stuff in Prague. You know, they love doing that. And there were other kids that doing it too. They went out in the field and they blew up stuff. But they have things in common that other people just don't get. They all went to Czech schools. You know, American kids going to Czech schools where they speak Czech. They're all fluent in at least one foreign language, especially Czech. They saw a church being born in our house. Later, they all believed together. They were all baptized together on the same day. And they talk about things that nobody else really understands. And they all have eternal life. So it makes it so much more special about the things that they're talking about, which provides this closeness and sharing among these three guys that is just absolutely wonderful. And that's what we can have. Relationship with Jesus Christ provides real fellowship with God. Real fellowship with God. Fact number four, Jesus Christ is the secret to real joy. Verse 4 says, we write this to make our joy complete. And John here is not talking about just a little joy. Small amount, a little bit, itty bitty bit of joy, but complete joy, fullness of joy. You know, fellowship is the answer to the loneliness of life, and joy is God's answer to the emptiness of life. And the word joy in Greek, chara, only occurs once in this letter, one time. This is the place where it occurs. But the idea of joy runs throughout the entire letter. This is a joy letter. This is how you can have joy. This is how you can have joy. This is how you cannot sin. This is how you can know you have eternal life. It's found in this book and explained to us. Joy is not something we can produce ourselves, but joy is a byproduct of fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus. Life that is real with Jesus produces a joy that is real and not made up, not fake, not surface, but it's real. Joy in our lives is a sign of the presence of God. We are chosen for joy. Can you imagine that? We are chosen to be joyful. Jesus said once, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and your joy might be complete. That's John 15, verse 11. I don't know where you're at today. You came to church. Maybe today you feel empty, or you feel really, really lonely. It's like sometimes people describe to me, like, it's like being in a city where people are just trees. You know, they're just trees. They don't talk to me. They're not real. Like people, they're like trees. But Jesus is the perfect medicine for those thoughts. Jesus is God. Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus lived a perfect life. And Jesus died on the cross for us. And Jesus rose again. Also that we, you and me, might have life. He died for you and me so we could live. We do that by putting our trust in him alone for our salvation. Not in works, Not because we inherit it from our parents, not because we can buy it, not because we can be good enough, but just by God's grace, he has chosen us. The question is, what will we do with this offer of real life today, real joy today? See for yourself as we continue to read this book. It's going to be explained to us over and over again. This is where you can find real satisfaction in life. This is where you can find real fellowship with God, things that your heart yearns for. You're going to find only in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of eternal life that you've offered, life, Jesus, so that we might have life. We might have eternal life. We might have heaven. We might have our sins forgiven. We might have a life that has purpose here on this earth. Lord, just guide us and help us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we sing our final hymn, number 213, Because He Lives.
This child can face.
Well, how about you? Do you still have doubts? If you do, you're not the first one. I'll read you a little short story here about a guy named Thomas who still had doubts a week or so after, you know, the disciples got to see Jesus. This is what happened. Now, Thomas, named Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, like in Luke 24, what we read last week. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hands in his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then, guess who he spoke to? Shows the patience of God. He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands." Maybe it was through the hand or through the wrist. We don't know. The Greek word is equivalent for both. "Put your finger here. Reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Well, we talked today about seeing for yourself. I invite you to study the Word of God with us through the next few Sundays so that you can see for yourself. If you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, you'll see that He is the Messiah and He came to give His life for you and me so we might have life. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for making it so clear to us about who Jesus is and the way of salvation. Lord, we just pray that we'll examine these things. We won't just take them because it's clear to somebody else, but we'll personally look and check out these things and know without a doubt at all that Jesus is the Christ. He came and died for us, and by putting our faith in Him alone, we might have eternal life. Lord, just help us as we're on that journey. Help us to understand the things you're going to teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks, everyone, so much for coming today. It's good to see you.